Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. Right out of the gate this morning on this Friday's, there's an article that came in from Politico magazine, and we're going to give all the glory to God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit's going to have his way today. We're going into the book of Revelation, chapter 9. We're going to look at the fifth angel. We're going to kind of at least once this week stay with the book of Revelation. But this article just came from a very dear friend, Politico. Suddenly, public health officials say social justice matters more than social distance. For months, health experts told Americans to stay home. Now, many are encouraging the public to join mass protests. A little weird, isn't it? So, for months, public health experts have urged Americans to take every precaution to stop the spread of COVID-19. Stay at home, steer clear of friends and extended family, and absolutely avoid large gatherings. That's what they told us. Now, some of those experts are broadcasting a new message. It's time to get out of the house and join the mass protest against racism. Here's what they've actually said. This is a quote. We should always evaluate the risks and benefits of efforts to control the virus. Jennifer Nuzzo, a Johns Hopkins epidemiologist, tweeted on Tuesday, quote, in this moment, the public health risks of not protesting to demand an end to systemic racism greatly exceed the harms of the virus. What? So the injustice that's evident to everyone right now needs to be addressed. Abrar Karan, a Brigham and Women's Hospital physician who's exhorted coronavirus experts to amplify the protest anti-racist message, told me, quote, while I have voiced concerns that protests risk creating more outbreaks, the status quo wasn't going to stop COVID-19 either. He wrote on Twitter this week. So it's a message echoed by media outlets and some of the most prominent public health experts in America, like former Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Tom Frieden, who loudly warned against efforts to rush reopening, but is now supportive of mass protests. Their claim, if we don't address racial inequality, it'll be that much harder to fight COVID-19. There's also evidence that the virus doesn't spread easily outdoors, especially if people wear masks. The experts maintain that their messages are consistent, that they were always flexible on Americans going outside, that they want protesters to take precautions, and that they're prioritizing public health by demanding an urgent fix to systemic racism. But their messages are also confounding to many who spent the spring strictly isolated on the advice of health officials, only to hear that the need might not be so absolute after all. It's particularly nettlesome to conservative skeptics of the all-or-nothing approach to lockdown, who point out that many of those same public health experts, a group that tends to skew liberal, widely criticized activists who held largely outdoor protests against lockdowns in April and May, accusing demonstrators of posing a public health danger. Conservatives who felt, you know, I look at this and I don't want to just keep reading the article. I think we made the point. The experts were telling everybody, stay home, social distance. The Supreme Court of the United States made all the churches in California stay closed, right? Stay closed. John Roberts sided with the progressive liberal part of the U.S. Supreme Court when church leaders in California were petitioning the high court to open their churches. They said, no way, you keep those churches closed. But here we are throughout the entire West Coast from San Diego all the way up to Seattle, where people are out in the streets looting, breaking windows, setting fires. I mean, you name it and you know it, but it doesn't make any sense. Have you talked to any of your friends lately about that particular thing? Have you asked them, hey, why was it so necessary for the Supreme Court to tell the churches to stay shut down because we're going to spread this pestilence and millions of people are going to die? And yet, the very governors of California, Oregon, Washington are all on board, including in Minnesota and other parts throughout the country, particularly the blue states. Why this is allowable? How crazy is this? Is it basically going to play into the part of the residual, you know, a new outbreak of coronavirus, or maybe a real airborne disease? Who knows where it's going to go, right? But it is rather strange. I've talked to people and they go, oh man, that's so true. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, people that were very concerned and trying to do the right thing, and they thought it was the right thing. And yet they're blown away that they kind of fell for it. And now all of a sudden everybody's out in the open protesting everywhere throughout the United States. What happened to COVID-19? Where did it go? Why were the churches still told to stay indoors? What's going on here, right? Well, time will tell, and it's really sad, obviously, what's going on. Sandra Matlow is saying, do you think it's safe to wear a face mask, or do you think it's the government who really wants us to wear them? That's a good question, Sandra. The friends I have tell me that most of the masks don't work anyways because you cover your face, but this disease, COVID-19, can go through your eyes, and it can enter into your body through your eyes, and not too many people wearing eyelids, and then you're breathing your own toxins. And Sandra's saying, right, and they're all around all others. How can they not get the COVID-19? And they're telling us to keep our churches closed. Wow, really? I don't understand anymore. There's nothing to understand. It makes no sense. It was a trick. It was a evil. It was mischievous. And that's exactly what the Word of God said was happening. I want to say good morning to Sonia. Good morning to you, Sonia. God bless you. And to Sandra Matlow again, good morning to you. And Brenda, good morning. And Sharon Evans, good morning to you. And looking forward to some good time on this broadcast this morning. But I thought, you know, who are we going to believe anyways? Do you believe in a supernatural protection over your life? Do you believe that? I mean, we don't want to force anything and we don't want to be, you know, pretentious. But do you believe in a supernatural protection? Do you believe that God is actually covering you with his blood? Do you believe that he's watching over your family and over your loved ones and over your home and over your life? Do you believe that God is really God in your life? Do you believe that regardless of 1,000 falling at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, that you unmasked, out in the open, would stand because of the covenant promises in your life? Do you live like there are covenant promises in your life? Do you live in the flow of the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God? Do you live believing and trusting God? You know, a lot of people, let me give you some stories. I had a relative who was my Uncle Bill. He was a Marine Corps drill instructor for 20 years. He was a drill instructor in the United States Marine Corps in Camp Pendleton, San Diego, for 20 years. He ran marathons. He was a triathlete. I mean, he ran 26 miles, was nothing for him in the deserts all over the country. He was 72. He was in the best shape of his life. He went to the doctor for a routine checkup. They gave him a pill, and they gave him the wrong pill, and it killed him. You know, trying to save ourselves is not always the best thing to do. Trying to cover up and stay indoors and wash your hands and be afraid and, you know, and then to find out that the same government that was insisting is now out there protesting with tens of thousands of people. It's really crazy, isn't it? So why not learn how to live and walk in faith, not be presumptuous? I don't agree with that. I think we should eat well. I think we should exercise where we can. I think we should, you know, treat ourselves with good sleep. And, you know, life is not easy for anybody. But we should be definitely building up our faith in the promises of God to protect us and cover us, to give us an immunity against all sickness and disease. Wouldn't you agree with that? To have a divine immune system knit together by the same God who put your first immune system in your body? Couldn't the God who created these bodies recreate an immune system for the days we're living in? To give us an ability to walk through these times. See, I believe in that. And not because I'm a great powerhouse of faith. I just have a childlike faith that says, I believe God. And that's why during this whole crisis in New Wine Ministry, I'm surrounded with people full of faith. I'm surrounded with people. I actually went to our congregation and said, well, folks, maybe we should shut down. They looked at me shaking their heads going, heck no, we're not going to shut down. And we never did. And not one person in our ministry, thank you, Lord Jesus, not one person got sick of COVID-19. And we were all out there. People were working. And when their jobs were shut down, they came out. And nobody wore masks. Nobody went social distancing. We were laying hands on the sick, anointing them with oil, giving hugs, greeting one another. Nothing. Nothing. And I believe it's because the faith of these people was so genuine. You don't need great faith if you have genuine faith. You could have a seed, mustard seed of genuine faith, and it will move mountains. And people were saying here in Northwest Arkansas particularly, well, why are we going to react like the rest of the world? Aren't we in a Goshen? Haven't we been hearing for years by Corey Ten Boom and others that this is a refuge, Northwest Arkansas is a refuge? And so we couldn't figure out why all these pastors that were proclaiming that Northwest Arkansas was a Goshen and a refuge, why they were acting like they were in Egypt. Remember, in Egypt, they had all the problems, but in Goshen, they didn't have any. So we took it to heart that what God said was true, and we lived our lives, never missed a beat. Our lives did not change. In fact, our lives here in Northwest Arkansas at New Wine Ministries exploded. We saw the most glorious presence of God. We truly did. We went through a season that was phenomenal, a phenomenal season. And now we're already through Shavuot. We've celebrated the first four feasts of the Lord, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits, and now Shavuot or Pentecost. So we've already been through four feasts. And we're just moving in the economy of heaven, the economy of God. We, you know, what happened in the world with businesses being lost didn't affect anybody here. because the people here gave their offerings for their Passover offering. They gave their Shavuot offerings. People honored the Lord with their offerings, and we expect 4 months of incredible harvest. We really do. We expect it. We've seen it. We've seen miraculous things happen. Maybe by the end of the broadcast, I'll share my little testimony with you of something that really happened that was amazing. It really was amazing, I have to say. Maybe I'll share it right now. I'd like to share it right now. When Passover came, I was not able to participate in the sense of taking that night off, eating the lamb, because, you know, what we do in our ministry, we encourage everybody stay home on that night of Passover, you know, maybe go out and get some lamb chops or lamb shank or something, sit with your family and celebrate Passover, celebrate it, have a Seder meal at your house, enjoy a meal with the Lord, honor him, just get your conscience going. But I wasn't able to do it because I was on a 21-day cleanse. My timing was a little bit off. But I remembered that in the scriptures, there was a second Passover. That in the second month, on the 14th day of the month, the people that were not able to make it for a valid reason were given a second chance. And I thought that was phenomenal in scripture that God gives a second chance in the Feast of Passover because that's the beginning of the year. That's where in the economy of God, things begin for the whole year. You're setting the stage for the entire year ahead. And so I knew that the second Passover was coming. So on the 14th day of the second month, I celebrated the Feast of Passover. And I made sure I had my offering, my Passover offering, and I have to be very careful where I give it because I don't have a pastor in my life. There's really not a ministry that I feed off of. And so God has to show me where to give my Passover offerings. And there are some incredible people, obviously, and people, you know, God just told me where to give it. And so I gave my offering on that day. I went to the store. I bought lamb chops from our local harp store. They happen to be fresh from Colorado. So I came home, I gave my offering, I put the lamb chops on the barbecue, I made a salad, I sat down, I celebrated and spent time with the Lord. And I did this on my own. Nobody was here. And so I just celebrated Passover. The very next day, now remember, Passover left a month earlier, people already celebrated. The very next day, I received a check for $7,000. A $7,000 offering came to our lives. And Patricia and I looked at it, and the offering that I gave wasn't even close to that, but I gave what I could give and what was in my heart to do. And it was an offering. It was the best I could do, like the word says. The next day, $7,000 Passover offering in a check. I blew me away. But I rejoiced because I knew that God said that this is how it works. And I have great faith for that. Now that we've gone through the four feasts in the spring and we've gotten through that, what God's word promises now is the next 4 months is going to be harvest time for God's people who gave their offerings. And we just simply believe that. So regardless what the world is going through, regardless with the loss of business or the economy tanking, God gets to prosper his people who honor him, even in a time of famine, the word of God says. So again, these are the supernatural promises of God. And when we participate in them, I mean, it's absolutely all. It's so ripe, in other words. It's so ripe in the kingdom of God. It's like you sow, you reap. It's fertile. It's fertile. And it's not just reaping the money that you sow, but God says he'll multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Why am I telling you this? I mean, the time of giving has passed, so we're not trying to receive anything from anybody. We're telling you there is a system, though, that God's word says, not only will I multiply your seed sown, but I will increase the fruits of your righteousness. So in other words, people are getting healed. People are going through inward transformations. They're getting their soul cleaned up before God. There's fruitfulness that's coming in the inward parts of their life. They're cultivating good fruit. I mean, this is God's way of doing things. And my point is, you have the world and you have the kingdom. We are to be living in the kingdom. Our citizenship first is in the kingdom. It's in heaven. It tells us in Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven. Not will be, it is. The Bible says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Not we will be, but we are. There's a spiritual migration into the kingdom of God, and it simply begins with faith and obedience to the word of God and allowing God's kingdom to begin to operate in our lives. And what is the kingdom of God? We're told in Romans it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, all the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, righteousness, peace, and joy are a reality within us. And there is a war of kingdoms. Kingdoms clash. There's no doubt about that. But the reality is that we can cooperate and operate in the kingdom economy of things and prosper regardless. We can stay healthy. We could stay blessed, having our needs met, having maybe a little bit extra to get some things done. And we praise God for this. We absolutely praise God. And what we desire for our congregation that God has given us an ability to serve, we desire to see the people prosper like they've never dreamed. And so this is our hope. And it's real to us. It's not made up. It's real. And so you might desire, and maybe you want to seek the Lord on this, that the way you're going to prosper in these days is not by hoarding. It's going to be by giving. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men give into your bosom. You're going to outrun the curse through your tithing, because God will rebuke the devourer when you give a tithe consistently on purpose. The first fruits of all your increase, not to the government, but to God. So you tithe to the Lord. You're going to begin to operate in a supernatural system in Malachi chapter 3, but also the offerings. And there are three major seasons in the economy of God during the feasts of the Lord. Passover, the window's open. Shavuot, it's open wider. By the time you get to Tabernacles, it's full-blown open. And so God says he'll open a window or a door. He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? And so I share that with you because I think it's important that we operate not in the propaganda of the world, not in the rhetoric, not in what they say, but we operate by every word of God. The CDC comes out sounding very intelligent and like experts and telling us, don't gather together, the Supreme Court. I mean, all the wisdom of the elite in the world, right? Well, they lied to us, but God didn't lie. God did not lie. There are still churches today that are not gathering together. I've already been in a meeting early this morning with a brother that they have not opened. It's all online. They won't open their churches. And yet, everybody's gathering by the tens of thousands. And now, of course, the opportunity for the enemy to come in and say, oh, now all these people are going to die in COVID virus, and they're going to keep it going. They're going to keep it going. But you don't have to live in that environment. You do not have to fear it. You do not have to be afraid of it. You do not have to be subject to it. You can believe that God, the supernatural, almighty God, your Father, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are operating on your behalf. They are working on your behalf because God loves you and God has chosen you so that he might fill you with his divine nature, that he might recreate within you the image and the likeness that was lost because of sin, that he might do this recreative work in your life. So for God to get his image back, for God to bring back his likeness in his creation is a huge, important thing for him. So when a person gives their life to him, that is God's ultimate desire to apprehend that life and say, okay, I've got material that I could work in to restore and bring back my image and likeness. This is no light thing. This isn't about God bringing us to heaven. God desires more than bringing you and I to heaven. He desires to work something out in us that he could show it off and put it on display to the nations of the earth. And what is that? The new nature. Jesus Christ is the firstborn son of a new species of mankind. He's bringing many sons and daughters to glorification. In other words, O little children in whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. So Christ, the form of Christ, the second man from heaven, the new natured man, is what God is wanting to form in our lives. I mean, it's just absolutely what blesses him. It's what he loves to do. I mean, he could create the sun, moon, and stars and the universe, and he could do all of that. But his highest form of creation was to make man in his image and likeness. And he is wanting and desiring that we who say we believe to be surrendered to him so that he could do the work in us. Now, what's wrong with that plan? I don't know. Maybe we're just taking control. We're listening to the world. I don't know. I don't think we're rebels. I don't think we're being cavalier. I don't think we're being arrogant or proud by honoring God more than honoring men. So this is who we are. This is who we are. This is who you are. And this is what we're becoming. This is what we're becoming. So I just believe that this is an amazing moment and that you should be praising God in your life as well. So having said that, there's a number of things that I really want to get into right now. And I think I'm going to begin with Revelation chapter 9. Are you ready to go into the book of Revelation? Well, let's do it right now. Let's get there. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. We have been talking about this end time prophecy. And I find that our timing and the timing of the Lord is amazing. I really do. I think it's an amazing time. We have been talking about the first five books of the book of Revelation. Remember, it is a prophecy. It is a foretelling of future events. We know that the first five chapters, there is no prophecy involved. Chapter one is introductory. Chapters two and three are urgent letters to the churches to get them ready for what was coming down the pike. And for anybody that tells you the church is not in the earth after Revelation 4, remember, they have to read Revelation chapter 8, because Revelation chapter 8 begins with the prayers of the saints ascending up. Well, if there's no saints, where are the prayers coming from? No. The saints of God are here. We're going to see that on repeated occasions that nobody just wants to talk about. We just hear some pastor say, oh, the church isn't there after Revelation 4. Revelation 4 is the rapture of the church. That's not true. All right, but Revelation 1 is introductory. Revelation 2 and 3, the urgent letters to the churches throughout all time. Chapter 4 is John being commissioned. He's being brought up into heaven to the throne room of God. He's about to get downloaded with his assignment. He's being encountered by God, and he's encountering the things of heaven, which are awesome. He reveals some of those things to us. They're amazing details. Chapter 5, same thing. There's a book in the hand of him who sits upon the throne, seven seals. That is the prophecy. And the book opens. And remember, in chapter 5, there's worship because somebody is worthy to open the book. So for the saints, it's not a bad deal. It's not a bad thing for you and I. We should be rejoicing because this prophecy being fulfilled is telling us that the end is near. And the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. So in chapter 6, we discovered that the first five seals have been opened. We believe that the sixth seal still needs to be fulfilled and that is at the door and that is global. And we need to interpret it properly when it comes. We don't believe it's been fulfilled yet. We believe it will be. And yet the sixth seal has actually been unveiled in generations past. In the Old Testament, we see the exact things of the sixth seal happening, but not in their totality. The book of Revelation is the climax of all things. Every other book, rivers and streams flowing into the ocean of the book of Revelation, it is the final of all events that have transpired in the past. No doubt, We have seen things in the past fulfilled, but their future fulfillment, the final end of Babylon, for example, is in the book of Revelation. Babylon's been destroyed before, but it shows up again. There's a finality to everything. Now, chapter 7, we saw a pause in the pangs, and we saw two people groups, the 144,000 and the untold multitude. We also saw four angels with four winds, and we knew that when those winds would blow upon the sea of humanity, they would be political and social agitations, and that the great sea of humanity would be stirred up with political and social agitations. And then in Revelation 13, that there would come forth a beast out of the sea of humanity, just like four beasts came out in Daniel chapter 7 when the four winds blew upon the sea of humanity and four beasts came out. Well, one beast comes out in Revelation 13, and we're going to get there. So we saw that in chapter 7. Chapter 8, it starts off with prayer, and we go from the seals to the trumpets. And we've studied the first four trumpets, and we don't believe that those trumpets have yet sounded, because when they do, that's the releasing of the four winds. The four winds of Revelation chapter 7 are connected to the four trumpets, because you can't get a sound out of a trumpet unless you blow wind through it. The first four winds are accomplished in Revelation 8. Then there's a pause, an angel flying through heaven saying, whoa, 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 because of the three trumpets that have not yet sounded. So the four are kind of isolated. They have all kinds of impact. And then comes the three woes. And so what we're going to get into right now is the first woe. The first woe, also known as the fifth angel sounding. So Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, there's some thinking that has to go along here. Number one, who is this star? Is this a good angel? Is it a bad angel? If you're my friend, Dr. Jeffrey Goodman, and you wrote The Comets of God, he suggests that this is a comet. So there's, again, all kinds of ideas and thoughts about who this star is. But what's interesting, it seems to have a life form to itself. I saw a star fall from heaven. Some people say that's Lucifer. When Jesus said, behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know, some people suggest that. Other people say, wait a second. I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So that means this one is given authority. So is this a holy angel of God that has been given the right, the authority, to open the pit that's going to bring forth judgment upon the earth? I kind of lean towards that. I don't think Satan's going to want to open the pit up. Maybe he does, though. Okay, so in either case, there's a star that's going to open the pit, and what comes out of the pit is going to bring judgment upon this earth. This is the first woe in the fifth angel. Now, the bottomless pit, where is that? Is that beneath our feet, or is the bottomless pit above our heads? Is it a wormhole? Is it deep space? Where is this place, and what is this place? Well, we know it's not a good thing. It actually refers to the demonic spirits that are being held until they are released. And we see that, I think it's in Luke 8:31. We could take a peek at it in a second. But here's where we are again. A star falls from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened, in verse 2, the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. All right, so imagery in our thinking. Well, you know, we would think something would come from beneath our feet, or is it the bottomless pit of the universe out there? Well, regardless, when it opens, there is a smoke. And that word smoke, if we want to just take a look, it's the kapnos, and that literally means smoke. That's all it is. So there's something of a smoke. There's something darkening the air. And what happens? It is darkening the sun and the air by reason of the smoke of the pit. So there's a darkening that happens here. Is it symbolic? Is it literal? We need to look at that as well. Verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. So obviously, these locusts are not earthly. They're not an earthly thing because they're likened unto the scorpions of the earth. The scorpions of the earth is what these locusts are like. So they have the scorpions of the earth have power. Well, what kind of power does a scorpion have? A scorpion has the ability to sting and to kill. So there's something in these locusts that have been given power. They have power. And what is their power? Well, in verse 4, it was commanded them. So these locusts are under authority. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That's kind of an interesting thought when you think about it. The seal of God in the forehead. The only reference we have to that is back in Revelation chapter 7. The 144,000, 12,000 from the 12 tribes that we've talked about in detail. So you need to go back and listen to that. But there are 144,000 that have the seal of their father in their foreheads. Very particular, very specific. The only other time we see them is in Revelation chapter 14. So Revelation 7, Revelation 9, Revelation 14, there's a particular people group that have the seal of the Father in their forehead. What does that mean? If these locusts have power over the men which have not the seal, well, that does that mean that the untold multitude of the second people group could be stung by them? Is it talking about just the worldly people? I mean, obviously, the 144,000 are God's people, but there's an untold multitude of people that are going into the Great Tribulation that don't have that seal of the Father in their forehead. So, what is this? What kind of judgment is this? What kind of sting is this? Well, again, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men. Now, normal locusts devour green things. They devour vegetation. They devour trees. They devour leaves. But here, these locusts, who are not earthly, okay, they're told to hurt men, which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Verse 5, to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment, again, of a scorpion when he strikes a man. What does the scorpion do? It stings, and when it stings, it releases what? Poison. Poison. So in Revelation chapter 9, verse 5, these locusts, these supernatural, unearthly beings, which you know where I'm going with it, I believe these are demonic spirits. I believe that these are fallen angels. I believe that they have been locked up for a very long time, probably going back to the days of Noah. I believe that they have been reserved unto the day of judgment. And the day of judgment that's coming on this earth, there will be an opening of the pit. There will be a release of these demonic spirits, and they will have power to hurt men. The only men they will not be able to touch are those who have the seal of God in their foreheads. And when they strike them like a scorpion, they release something into people, and it brings torment. Now, the word torment here is the Greek word where it says it's the basanizo. the bazanizo, and that word means to torture, to cause pain or toil, to vex. You ever get vexed in your thinking, in your mind? Have you ever had a tormenting mental state of things? Have you been vexed by ideas and thoughts? But it's more than that. I think it's very interesting that the word bazanizo actually means to test the metal by the touchstone, which is a black silica stone used to test the purity of gold or silver by the color of the streak produced on it by rubbing it with either metal. So in other words, these spirits that are going to be stinging men that don't have the seal of God, it's going to be testing them as to whether they are genuine or not. To me, that's the untold multitude in Revelation chapter 7 of professors of Christ who are going into this day that are going to be tested to their metal as to whether or not they are genuine. Talks about separating what's true from what's false, the sheep from the goats, right? It also talks about the applying torture. It's about grievous pains of body or mind. It literally means to be harassed or distressed, as those who at sea are struggling with a headwind. You know, when I think about this, all I desire is to have the seal of my Father in my forehead. And whatever it takes to get the seal of my Father in my forehead, I want to go for it. Now, if it boils down to being a Jew or a Gentile, and if you're not Jewish, you don't get it, well, then we're kind of getting ready for this thing. I don't believe that. I believe Revelation 14 tells you who gets the seal and why. It has nothing to do with their race, being Jewish or Gentile. We've talked about it, and I don't want to go into detail about it again, but I would say I don't want to get into this kind of thing, do you? I don't want to be stung by these things. Why? Check this out. Go back to verse 5 of Revelation 9. Let's read it again. To them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Very specific period of time. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. So it is somewhat torturous. I guess it would be like having COVID-19 or some other pestilence or some other plague or some other disease where it gets so difficult. Listen to verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, you say maybe to yourself, well, why would God subject believers to that kind of torture, that kind of testing, that kind of distress, that kind of vexation? I want to ask you a question. Haven't you already been subjected to these kinds of tests? Haven't you already been subjected? Now, if the test comes and the metal is pure and the gold is real, I don't think these things are going to have the same effect upon that which is not real. And if it's not real, well, obviously people are going to seek death and they're going to try to find a way to die. I don't want to be in that. Do you want to be in that? No, I believe that the right answer, make sure you are genuine. Make sure your faith in God is real. Make sure you're not into religion. Make sure you're not just in whimsical, philosophical, ideological ideas about things. No, make sure that you have a real relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be the best answer to this? Rather than thinking, well, I'm a Christian, I won't be subjected to that. The last time I read my Bible, the pure-blooded Christians were subject to torture in the Roman Colosseums. They were subjected to all kinds. Throughout the entirety of the church age, Christians have been subjected to torment, torture, burning at the stake. God has always allowed things to happen to find out who's who and what's what. Even his faithful martyr, Stephen, who's stoned to death, he stood up, the Lord Jesus did, and watched him. So let's not get into this idea that has been presented that, you know, good people don't suffer or Christians never see a bad day. Please don't go there. just run your race and ask the Father to seal you in your forehead. And I don't know, you know, we have to each one address that differently, but let's move on. All we know is they shall desire to die and death shall flee from them. So they're wishing for death. I mean, that's a bad spot. I know Christians that have actually longed for death because they were going through a miserable experience. They said, man, I'd be better off dead. I mean, how many people even in Scripture said that? Be better off dead. It's because of the testing that's coming. Verse 7 gets into a little description. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. Well, wings. So again, if these are demonic angels, angels have wings, and if they're coming out of the smoke and there's a massive locust, because when you think about locusts, you think about a collective idea, right? But these also, some people have said, boy, this sounds like military powers. Some people have said this sounds like asteroids coming to the earth with pestilence and disease. Okay? Who are these locusts? You think about swarms. I want you to start thinking swarms of locusts, okay, that are bringing the affliction. God is allowing it. They're coming out of the pit. They've been locked up. They're now being released in this part of the judgment that will come upon this earth in these last days. Well, they're chariots, the sound of chariots. And remember, if the footmen have wearied us, what will happen in the day of the prancing chariots, okay? Chariots are powerful forces. Then in verse 8 it says, they had tails like unto scorpions. Here's the scorpion again. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. All right. Verse 11, here, this is always interesting, is Revelation 9:11 says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. The word Apollyon there is Apolluon, Apollyon. It means destroyer. Okay, the destroyer. And then it goes into some deeper context, and you go to the deeper root words. It's Apollumi, and that means to abolish entirely. In other words, to bring ruin, to kill. Obviously, Abaddon is a destroyer demonic force. It sounds so much like Satan, but this is Apollyon the destroyer. He is the king over these locusts. And by the way, the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Abaddon also means destruction, ruin. That's the name. The Hebrew origin is the number 11. It's a destroying angel. Abaddon, which means, again, from Hades and destruction. So this angel, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, there's a king over these demonic forces. I don't know if the world or if the church has considered the fact that we are in a spiritual battle and that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. As a matter of fact, let me stop for just a moment. I want to play for you a clip. Okay, I'm going to put this on. I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to show you something on the screen right now, which I thought was very interesting. You want to see a swarm of locusts, right? Let's see a swarm of locusts here. You see that on the screen? Let me give it to you just raw here. Let it grow up just a little bit. Let's pretty powerful, the protests that you've been seeing. I was looking at all these different pictures. Let me give you this here. Here's some more. Why don't you just notice the people groups here? These are all protests. See those city streets there? All protests. All protests. You're seeing people gathering. I mean, look at the gatherings of people. We just saw swarms of people going through the cities of America. And we saw these swarms of people breaking windows, looting, rioting, killing, setting fire. What were we witnessing? What were we seeing with our eyes? Were these demonically possessed people? Were the demonic spirits bringing them forth? And is this a sign, kind of a witness, a preview of what we're expecting to come in that fifth angel, in that fifth trumpet? Maybe. Maybe. But let's go a little bit deeper. I want to share a video with you, and I want to share the screen here. I want to go to one more, and I want to show you this because I think it's interesting that this is a video about spiritual warfare. Listen to this, and I will give it full place here.
Hey guys, Jeff Jansen, Global Fire Ministries International, and I want to share a few things with you. Yesterday, I was alerted from someone that's very close to the Queen. I don't want to name names, but somebody that is very, very close. There's some things that are happening. It led to some of the things that are happening in our nation right now. And there is a covert attempt by witches, warlocks. I was given to this in an email and in text form. It's very, very underground, very occult, very hidden. That June the 5th, there's a super moon, and that witches, warlocks, shamans are going to come together, and they're going to attempt to do something spiritually like they did last time with President Trump. But they said, let's keep it underground. Don't go to social media with it. Don't tell people what's going on, because if you do, now this is what the witches were saying, if we do, the Christians are going to come together, they're going to create prayer circles, and it's going to nullify what we've done, just like last time. And they're talking back and forth with each other. Yeah, let's keep it quiet, let's not do that, let's not alert the Christians. If we do, that's exactly what's going to happen. So June the 5th, tomorrow, this is the third Wednesday night, tomorrow Thursday is the 4th, and on the 5th Friday, between now and then, we are raising a prayer shield. We need to raise a prayer shield for our president. And I really feel the Lord challenged me. He says, Jeff, we need to pray. We need to get together. We need to get this word out. So I'm asking.
All right. So let me do something. I lost the sound. I'm going to start it from the beginning again. It's only 3 minutes. Listen very carefully, okay?
And I want to share a few things with you. Yesterday, I was alerted from someone that's very close to the Queen. I don't want to name names, but somebody that is very, very close. There's some things that are happening. It led to some of the things that are happening in our nation right now. And there is a covert attempt by witches, warlocks. I was given to this in an email and in text form. It's very, very underground, very occult, very hidden. That June the 5th, there's a super moon, and that witches, warlocks, shamans are going to come together, and they're going to attempt to do something spiritually like they did last time with President Trump. But they said, let's keep it underground. Don't go to social media with it. Don't tell people what's going on, because if you do, now this is what the witches were saying, if we do, the Christians are going to come together, they're going to create prayer circles, and it's going to nullify what we've done, just like last time. And they're talking back and forth with each other. Yeah, let's keep it quiet, let's not do that, let's not alert the Christians. If we do, that's exactly what's going to happen. So June the 5th, tomorrow, this is the third Wednesday night, tomorrow Thursday is the 4th, and on the 5th Friday, between now and then, we are raising a prayer shield. We need to raise a prayer shield for our president. And I really feel the Lord challenged me. He says, Jeff, we need to pray. We need to get together. We need to get this word out. So I'm asking you, those that are associated with us, Global Fire Ministries, associated with me, that are connect, share this whole thing. We need to raise a prayer shield. We're going to be putting something out tomorrow and just connecting. We may even do a worship night tomorrow night, Facebook, and we'll let you know about that, just to come together to pray. And it's to do warfare. It's to create prayer circles. They're afraid of the prayer circles. To do prayer circles, to come into agreement, to break every hex, break every attempt of the enemy to kick this nation while we're down. And listen, there's things that are happening. So, look, this is not a need for alarm and things like that. We just need to be on the offensive. They know what's going on. They're aligning a supermoon with one of their times to come against our president and against this nation while things are happening in the streets. We're not going to let that happen. So we're going to create a prayer shield, raise a prayer shield to cover our president and our nation tomorrow. That happens on June the 5th. So we'll be praying between now and June the 5th. It's time for us, guys. We've got to stand up, stand in a place. We're going to get this word out, and I'm going to ask you to share, share, share. So globalfireministries.com, you'll be able to get the information. And again, we're going to be going live to Facebook. We'll probably be doing a June the 4th at night worship time. But guys, this is really important. We are the church, and they're afraid of us. They don't want us to come together and pray. We're going to come together and pray. God bless you. Share this, guys, and connect with us as we raise a prayer shield for our president and this nation. God bless you.
All right. So I thought that was very important, and there's no doubt it is. So what we're going to do now is open the telephone lines to anybody that's out there right now that would like to call into the broadcast. I think we're back on track here. Let me just remove this from the stream. And then we'll stop doing this. So we're learning how to use this system. All right. So witches, warlocks, and all kinds of strange people want to curse the president without letting anybody know. Got out of the bag. We prayed last night, and we will continue to pray through this day. And can you post the link in the chat so we can share this too? You know, Cindy, I will absolutely try to do that. Let's see. How do you do that? Try to learn how to do these things. I will work on that. I will absolutely work on that because I just kind of, let's see if I can do it real quick. All right. Let me just see. Let me open this up. Let me share it. Oh, share now public. Share in Messenger. Well, how do you just kind of copy the link? Link is copied. Put it down here. Put it here. Paste it. Bada bing, bada boom. That's it. I got it. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Okay. So another thing I was going to do was kind of go through the scriptures that are talking about the locust demonic spirits in the Bible. You know, in the days of Egypt, there were many locusts that actually consumed. But again, they were actual locust. We have had a call coming in, and this is really good because I'd like to shift right now, and maybe we're going to get into the sixth angel before we get off the air today. I think that would be good to do that because that'll help us next time we come on the air to talk it through. But let me take it from my friend here coming in on area code 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Morning, Pastor. Hearing earlier about talking about the scorpion, the power of their tails sustain 5 months. And I always used to think of that as being able to sting different people during 5 months. But today, when you were talking, it occurred to me that they might sting someone, and that sting tortures them for 5 months. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to my wife, Miriam, and she said that she got stung when she's a child by one of the big black Vietnamese scorpions, and it really hurt.
I bet they do. I mean, that can't be pleasant ever. That can't be pleasant. So what do you think? I mean, what is it that is going to be released? And the idea, you know, we're not creating the drama. The drama is in the Word, and it tells us a time is coming on this earth that there are going to be things released. Do you think, and this is what I'd like to stir the conversation, how many of you out there believe that if you are a believer but you don't have the seal of the 144,000, do you believe you would be subjected to this kind of testing, this kind of, you know, touching the touchstone? I mean, immediately would like to say, what? No way, man. I don't want to be subject to that. But is that true? Is that true? What are your thoughts, Phil?
Well, it reminds me of a young lady that she believes, I think, everything that we do. But she don't like to talk about the bad things. They disturb her. And that seems to me that kind of leaves open an avenue for attack at the time when the attacks come against us, that it creates a crack in her armor. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So maybe that's the question. We'll leave it out there for everybody else to call into the program and talk it through and find out, you know, what is that sting? What is that test? What is that torture? What is that? God's people throughout the history of the church have been tortured. I mean, literally tortured on the racks during the Inquisition. My God. So what is this? What is it really saying that is going to follow these other judgments that are coming upon this earth? And what we have viewed, what we have witnessed in the book of Revelation, that at least five of the seals have opened. So the prophecy is in motion. And when will these others, these four winds, when will they really begin to blow? Are they blowing right now? Are we witnessing the political and social agitations that are stirring up the sea of humanity right now? I mean, are we seeing that turmoil begin? And then the first four winds, I mean, what are we witnessing? What are we seeing? Let's take another call. Thank you so much, Phil, for hanging in there with me today. God bless you, sir. Let's go to area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, as you were teaching in Revelation 9 there, and then according to my King James Bible here, a reference, of course, would go back then to also to Ezekiel 9, and it is the inkhorn being sealed. And here's my question and my comment. And in that fourth verse then, in chapter 9 of Ezekiel, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for the, all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people that are just not really in agony, they would be just really sealed. I mean, when a person gets into intercessory prayer, sometimes you have groanings. You know, you cannot even in English, you don't even know sometimes in your mind what you're praying. But I believe that people have to come into this kind of a place in the spirit too, where it is through the Holy Ghost. Now that's my comment. Now my other question is in Revelation 9 there, could it possibly be like you said, it's the locust is explained as maybe it's military planes. Of course, war is always very evil. And then a long time ago, I was given some information, and it was about the verse about the king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, and then you told those names in Greek and Apollo and all that. And they said when Saddam Hussein in 1991 was, you know, on the scene, part of that could have been fulfilled. Is it possible, Brother Vincent, that some of these things in the Bible have already taken place, like the seals? God is revealing, I know, a lot to a lot of the people of God all over. But I just have questions.
Oh, I think you have great questions. And obviously, because none of us are really experts in it. I mean, we're reading a prophecy. I think so many of the things that have been written in Scripture have been before. I just believe that this prophecy in the last days is going to be completely fulfilled, so it won't be repeated again. There have been many repeats. Now, has God just recently, have we gone through a season almost imperceptibly where God has been setting his mark, setting his seal in the forehead of his overcomers, the remnant, the bride, the pure ones that follow him everywhere he goes with no naughtiness in their lips and, you know, that type of thing. The description is in Revelation 14. It's possible that he is sealing his saints. It's possible that we're getting ready to go into the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And the things that are coming on the earth, Yeshua said, Jesus said that men's hearts would fail them for fear of what they see coming. We're just reading about it. It's kind of like reading that one day, you know, there's going to be a COVID-19 big disease, and all of a sudden there's going to be rioting going on, and you're reading it going, gosh, that kind of sounds harsh, but all of a sudden there it is. But here's the cool thing. Some people weren't touched by it at all. Some people, it was zero effect upon some people. And why is that? And again, I'm just wanting to build up the faith in the body of Christ. But we may be deeper into things or maybe further away from things. And through the Holy Spirit alone will we be able to really understand. And God will give us the wisdom. I do believe that. But you bring up an excellent scripture in Ezekiel chapter 9. Definitely. That's awesome. So also, Sharon is asking, and thank you for your call, Kathy. I appreciate it deeply. God bless
you. Thank you.
All right. So Sharon is also asking, are the 144,000 the pure virgins? Absolutely, they are the pure virgins, probably the wise virgins to boot, And they're more than that. They're pure virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. There's no guile in their mouths. So, Sonia says, might be a good idea to first identify what exactly is the seal of God. I believe that's the truth. Do we know what the seal of God is? What is that seal? And in Ezekiel chapter 9, the seal was a mark put on those who sighed and cried for the abominations that were committed in the land. Obviously, their hearts were tied to it. Is this the mind of Christ? We know that all true believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a seal upon our hearts. That we absolutely agree. But is that the same seal as the 144,000? And what's the difference? Why is there a seal in the forehead of the 144,000 where the untold multitude didn't seem to have that seal? So is it a special seal of the remnant of that particular people group that follows the Lamb, 12,000 from the 12 tribes? I mean, obviously, they are a stellar group of people. They are genuine God people. And that seal of the Father in their forehead, it sounds to me like it's sonship. It's sonship fulfilled. It's the technon baby children, or the napion, the little baby, and then the technon little child, as compared to the huios, the fully matured sons. And I believe that seal of sonship is the same seal that Yeshua had. Yeshua had received a special blessing when the Holy Spirit came upon him like in the form of a dove. And it landed upon him, lighted upon him. So what is it? I believe it is sonship. I believe it is the maturing of the divine nature from within. I believe it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming to the hundredfold. And unfortunately, a lot of people in Christianity today don't believe that's possible to be a hundredfold Christian. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that there is bronze and silver and gold, and that our faith is what's producing the gold, and that, you know, the hundredfold is there, the gold is there, the fruit of the Spirit is there, and people are actually walking in that. They're living it out in their lives. We may not know them. Maybe it's you. And so it's a great conversation. So let's open the lines. Anybody else Vincenzo is saying from Vinny Pots and Pans, is it possible that the forehead seal is not a physical showing, but a download to the Jesus? Absolutely, I do believe that. I don't believe it's a physical outward mark. But I could be wrong, but I do not believe that. I do think it's the mind of Christ. I do believe it's the seal of the Father in the conscience. And then you say, well, what about the mark of the beast? Maybe it's the same, right? But there is something else in that mark that needs to be looked at as well. So great questions. So let's keep looking at it here. I've got some other texts coming in. They're coming from a different location. Waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. We'll bring you into the broadcast immediately. You need to press 1 on your dial pad. So let's take our next call coming in from 479-855. Good morning. God bless you, sir. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Hello, Pastor.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I cut you off.
I was cheering you on, Pastor Ken. How are you today?
Oh, we're always blessed. Praise the Lord. You know, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, a thought kept crossing my mind as you were talking about these locusts and, you know, the shape of them and what their purpose was, you know, to torment mankind for the ungodly. You know, a thought crossed my mind, could this be a final warning from the Lord to wake people up, especially Christians that maybe are on the fence, to let them know that this is it, and you will suffer greatly if you do not receive me and honor me and do the things I've asked you to go ahead and do? You know, that was a thought that was running through my head on here. And as to the appearance of what they're going to really look like, I don't think we really know. The Bible a lot of times is allegorical in nature, and it gives us descriptions. But I'll tell you what, we will know when they do come. We know what shape and form they're going to be, because they're going to be inflicting a lot of pain. But I can't help but think that this might be the very last warning that God is going to go ahead and give. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking how, again, that word actually means vexation, harassment. You know, the idea that our conscience becomes vulnerable to the powers of darkness because either we have not cleansed our conscience, like the book of Hebrews says that our conscience is supposed to be clear and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. So maybe we did not apply the atoning blood to our conscience and let the mercy of God cleanse and wash. Maybe we've held on to phobias or fears, or maybe we've not forgiven somebody. Maybe we've never confessed some sin in our lives. I mean, we're really talking about a fine line here. I mean, if the military of the United States is raising up expert soldiers, what is God raising up? Why do we always think God is, he always accepts what is less than what he desires? He wants his sons, his daughters, his image, his likeness in a people, and I believe he wants to put it on display in this earth. And the idea that's been promoted for such a long time is that that can't happen. We're human beings. We're always going to sin. But that flies in the face of scripture of what God is wanting to produce in our lives. So, yeah, I would think that it's a genuine wake-up call. Most of this prophecy is, and it's just an acceleration and an intensification of the judgments that do follow. Absolutely.
You know, Pastor, I can't help but think that, I mean, that's a great explanation as well. I can't help but think that God, even when mankind has turned against him so vehemently, yet he is still merciful, still willing to give us another chance. But there's a limit to his chances. And finally, he's going to say, this is it. Because when we get into the sixth year, which we'll be talking about sometime down the line, it's all over. And, you know, we need to know where we stand with him at this point in time.
Yeah. And maybe the idea of not dying and only being tormented just gives people opportunity for repentance. Pastor Ken, hold on 1 second. I want to bring in this other call here coming in from 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Pastor Vincent. Someone
Hello.
On someone on Facebook had said they needed, wondered where the link was, you know, to hear the call to prayer regarding the moon. And I wasn't sure which place to send it to, but I sent it to New Wine Radio 2 and also your own name, Vincent Xavier. So
okay. And I just put it back up on the chat. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So hopefully that'll help people.
All right.
It was,
so,
it was a Facebook post, but I sent the link to you. So I hope you got it.
Thank you so much, Miriam. So what is the seal of God in your understanding?
I was reading that just the other day, and it's in Timothy as well as in Revelation. And it refers to those who truly know that intimate knowing Jesus. We are his and he is mine, just like in Song of Solomon. It's there's many that are going to say, Jesus, we prophesied in your name. We did all these things. And he says, I didn't know you. Depart from me. So the seal is sealing those who truly know him, spending time and really knowing Jesus. That's my understanding.
Amen. I think that's a great understanding. Thank you so much, Miriam, for the call, and thank you for the heads up. I appreciate it. Also, I was looking at Ian. Ian Rude wrote in, agree that God's seal is sonship, identified by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God's electing, effectual, distinguishing grace will preserve his people from total and final apostasy. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind remains fixed on him. That is absolutely true. Sonia is saying the day will come when Yeshua will declare, he that is just, let him be just still. Such a sobering word of God. It is so very sobering. Waiting for your call or your comments. The number to call is 818-369-0326. We are talking about the seal because in Revelation chapter 9, with the release of these locust entities, these demonic spirits, whatever they may be, there are those who will literally be preserved, will not be touched by them. The question is, if you don't have the seal, are you subject? Are you subject? Sonia says, God will smite all those who practice lawlessness, those who trample his laws. Pastor Ken, anything else that you wanted to share before we go on here?
You know, Pastor, I really believe that that seal is going to be coming very shortly because, and I believe that God's people will be able to see the seal on each other. And as a result, we know who we can trust and who we can talk to and who we can be with, who we can fellowship with. But the rest on there are going to begin to suffer the consequences. And we need to know who is with God because the times are going to become very scary and there's going to be a lot of death going on. And we need to know who we can be with and who we can depend upon.
Amen. Amen to that. I know what I want to do is I want to live my life in a manner that is pleasing to God. But I also know, you know, we're not talking about rigidity here. You know, there is a rigid righteousness that the Word of God speaks about in the Amplified Bible. And I just think that means we have standards and we have certain boundaries and God's given us a lot of space to walk, believe me. But we just know that there are certain things that we just don't do, that we are aware of. And so we walk within the parameters of what is right in God's word. I want to live within those boundaries. And what I'm finding is that when we live within the boundaries, we have an abundant life. We have a life that's filled with the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is the most beautiful life a person could have. I mean, what's wrong with love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faith, patience, self-control, all these wonderful characteristics of a new being, a born-again being, a new creation species. Why would we not want to have that in something that is totally infused and connected to the Spirit of the living God, our Father, to be one with him? For he was, joined to the Lord as one spirit? I mean, being one with him. where his spirit and his life is flowing in and out. My goodness. And then to have the promise of eternal life, the promise of eternal life. I cannot imagine somebody going into the eternal realms of torment. If these locust demons harass and vex and torture and torment to the degree that people seek for death, how could, you know, this is like a moment of what hell is, what the lake of fire would be like. Because I've heard and I believe it's written in an accurate scripture theologically that this place is the smoke of their torment never ceases. Their worm never dies. I cannot imagine. I have had days of vexation. I have had times of satanic harassment against my life. Thank God there's a tomorrow to get out of them, right? And thank God there's a people that will pray for us and help us along the way. Thank God. But we're talking about 5 months of being tormented and wishing for death. I don't want that in my life. And how do you avoid that? Get the seal. Well, if you're told you can't have the seal because you're not a particular ethnic group or whatever, what about the kind of person that we can be? I mean, folks, do you know eternal hell, eternal death? And hell and death are eternal, but they're not eternal in the sense where people remain in them. Remember, hell and death give up the dead that are in them, and then whoever is not found in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. But that lake of fire is the eternal touchstone. It's from age to age. It's not 5 months anymore. It is eternal vexation and harassment, and we can't fathom that. How can a soul exist without dying in a realm of eternity because we've rejected God? It's unthinkable. And yet there's enough evidence that we ought to fear the Lord. And the only thing I know is that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And when you fear God, you don't just ignore what God's word says to do. I mean, I'd rather be called a rigid legalist. I don't care what they call me, as long as my intention is to honor God's word. You could call me anything you want. At the end of the day, you're not my judge. And I'm certainly not yours. At the end of the day, the word of God is going to judge me. And so I'm going to do what the word of God says to do. I want to do that. I desire, because that's wisdom. That's fearing the Lord. That's just pure fear in the Lord. I want to say hello to my brother, Hector. Hector is one of the pilots that flew in China that has a download of information that he needs to get out to the body of Christ of what's going on in China. And he said he'll be making sure to call in here real soon. Vinny Pots and Pans, we are a new source energy of God. I believe that. I believe that we are God's answer to the end times in some way. Anybody else out there? Let's get to some more phone calls. The number to call, 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Sonia says, amen. The fruit of the Spirit comes from being a new creation and being one with Him. Follow Him fully. Why not? What else are we going to follow? Ourselves? We get ourselves in trouble all the time. Who are we going to follow? Some people? Why? Don't follow anybody but Jesus Christ. And anybody that's following Jesus, you'll know it. Follow them as they follow the Lord. And we become examples. Come on, I'm waiting for your call. It's Friday. If you don't call, I'm going to start taking up an offering, okay? You got to call in. You got to be a part of this broadcast because, you know, I'll start saying, hey, support the ministry. By the way, yesterday I made mention that while we're traveling, we're going to be heading out to Phoenix on Sunday. And then when we get back from Phoenix the following week, we're going to be heading out to Texas. And then at the end of the month, we're going to be heading out to South Dakota. And then after that, it looks like God is beginning to open the doors to our assignment, which is to go forward and encourage the saints everywhere, and then to encourage them to gather together and maybe even begin some home fellowships, some Bible studies, with an intention of getting ready for what's coming down the pike, not in a spirit of fear, but wisdom. It wasn't fear to go to Goshen. It was God's purpose and plan, right? All right. So we're still waiting for your call. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. It'll take you right into the conversation. I am looking forward to an amazing Friday. I hope you're looking forward to an amazing Friday. I pray that your week will be blessed, that your Friday, your Shabbat will be a blessed Sabbath rest tonight. Hopefully, you'll be able to close the doors later on and settle down with your loved ones and kind of lock the world out until sunset Saturday, and that you'll spend time in the Word, you'll spend time in prayer, and that you'll be super blessed in celebrating your Sabbath rest. Sharon is asking a question here, and we do have some other calls coming in. I can't wait to take those. Sharon is saying, do you think our little children will be spared from the locust? Will God take his little children out of this? You know, he's Almighty God, and I believe that you are a covering to your children, and as you honor the Lord, your children are sanctified. I do believe 1 Corinthians chapter 7 actually talks about the sanctification of the children. It's a powerful thing. Plead the blood of Jesus over your kids. And remember, trust everything in your life to God. Trust everything in your life to God. Trust him when things are working, when things aren't working. Trust him, trust him, trust him, trust him. It's the most important thing you can do is trust the Lord. But yes, I would say absolutely. Let's get into a next call. This looks like it's coming from our dear friend. You got to have Vinny Pots and Pans on Friday to say hello and goodbye. Hello, Vinny. How are you today, sir?
To say hello and goodbye. Vincenzo!
Come on. I'm hungry for Italian food. What's going on, Vinny? How are you today?
I love when things go a little awry and you go, Mamma Mia.
You got to go, Mamma Mia. What else are you going to do? Well, you know, I was brought up in Italian in a Catholic home. And Mamma Mia, Mother Mary, my, okay, but we're good. How
yeah,
are you?
Good, good. Hey, I just got a question for you, and maybe sure. A couple more if it's okay real quick. Would you consider the evil protesters, like you showed in that video, kind of like the locusts that you're describing? The evildoers of the protesters, couldn't they kind of be described in a swarm of bad and anarchy kind of people?
Absolutely. They just ran through the city. They ran on the walls.
Yes.
They burned. They broke. They killed. They did all
tormenting,
kinds of things.
Right?
Yeah.
Tormenting and torturing the poor the poor people out there.
Right. Good. Yes. I think we're going to see a lot more of it.
And I really I always hate to mention his name, and I mentioned it yesterday during the phone call when I was saying, where are these, you know, Democratic kind of I can't even say they're Democratic. They're just, you know, S-H-I-T stirrers. And I looked a little at that news thing with the memorial for poor George Floyd there. And who do I see when I said yesterday, where is he? And there he is, Al Sharpton, standing there. And I'm just this just now, just to me, just loses all credibility. I don't want to keep talking about him anymore to give him any more, but it just really put a bad taste in my mouth. Like, oh, come on, man. Come on. I'm not, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And
absolutely.
I would say the seal, it's not a tattoo. I don't think it's going to be – I don't think God wants to mess up your beautiful forehead there, Vincenzo.
That's right. Because
you see these idiots from jail, and they got all the tattoos on their face, and they just look don't look. It's not a good look. It's going to be a downloaded mind, like you said in Revelation when – who was it, John, that went up and got downloaded?
Right. Yeah, the Apostle John went up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and you say he got downloaded, right?
Correct.
So I would say, can you equate that, you know, we've already been downloaded. We already have the seals. And the seal is that download. And I think it's going to maybe be more of 144. And I think, like you said, it's not just a denomination, hey, if we're Jewish or this. It's going to be all colors, all people from all backgrounds since the beginning of time. What do you say on that?
Yeah, many people said that the 144,000 was a symbolic number of completion. And so whatever that number is, and a lot of these things, we're still, you know, we're kind of, at least I am, a bit short-sighted on some things. I can't come out and say 100% accuracy. But I do believe that as times evolve, that God's going to give them, and he's going to give revelation to his saints, and we're going to know the things that we need to know. I believe God has a strategy, and I believe that God has saved the best wine for the last time, and I believe a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to quicken our understanding, and we're going to have wisdom and revelation knowledge like we've never dreamed. I believe we're getting ready to have an open heaven, and we're going to understand so much better than we do right now.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the correlation between New Wine Ministry, right? And right. Are you starting to see the, hey, this is all really, like, as wild as it is, I mean, it's all starting to, like, make sense, and like, wow, and like, yeah, and it makes you excited. Yeah. To me, it does, because I see the signs, and I understand, like I said, you know, it's like, if I was to be talking to you this time last year, I'd be like, yeah, right, you know what I mean. And now you start to see the signs in your life in certain things. And one day we could have a wonderful discussion about things that I have actually experienced God firsthand here at my house. Total 100%. It would almost be like if I said I saw a UFO. So that's why I don't want to say anything. But okay. I know what I experienced, and I'm still continuing to experience it, and it led me to you, and it led me to the people that are here today with you, and, you know, God bless you. And, hey, listen, be careful on your missions next week out there, you know, be careful driving. How are you getting out there? Did you get a camper? Did you get the RV or what? What's up?
We did not get a camper. We're going to be driving where we're going, and but I did have a friend yesterday that heard my call for being able to take a laptop with me. And he called up and says, I want to get you a laptop. So I'm not sure where that's all going to go. But eventually, laptop, RV, traveling across this country, strengthening the saints. And we've got to start a home fellowship in New York, don't we?
I think you already have. Come on, Vinny. You're welcome here anytime. But here's another thing and another thought. Between the equipment that you do have, make sure maybe somebody could take some time off and have a little technical, you know, such as posting links and copy and paste. And, you know, most kids nowadays, if you got a kid that you just want to take along for the ride with you in the family, maybe you're one of your grandkids, I guarantee you they know more about the copy and paste and links and this and that than we do. But don't forget, the home fellowships you go to, everybody already has a computer and access that way, and you could just go live on their computer. You get me?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't worry about that. But, yeah, I would hate to miss you, and I'm sure we all would miss you off the road. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But there's always a way. You always see these people that they, hey, we're in Boston, or now we're in Florida, and they always go live every time wherever they are.
Yeah.
Even if you just have a cell phone, you could go live on a cell phone, however that works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to work on that, and thank you for your encouragement. I appreciate it so very much. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, Vincenzo. And we'll talk again soon. Hey, it was nice hearing again from Ken and everybody else. And God bless you, and I love you guys, okay?
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. You know, Vinny had encouraged me a couple of weeks ago to go 2 hours. And I'm willing to go a little bit further if we have some other calls coming in. So if you are desiring to call into the broadcast, the number is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. And if you have a question or comment or something you'd like to share, maybe a prayer request, whatever the case is, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you right into the broadcast. And if we have exhausted our time today, then we have exhausted our time. Let's get on with a glorious day, and we will just say to everybody, shalom. There is a roundtable discussion going on right now on omegaradio.org, and it is Friday. So if you get to omegaradio.org, you'll be able to listen 24/7, and we have some really good broadcasts. We rebroadcast a lot of the things that we've done here Lots of great speakers are on there. And right now there's a deliverance class, and you won't be disappointed with that. I want to thank everybody that stayed with us throughout this week and through the times that we've been in, and appreciate you and ask God to bless you richly. I truly do, and wish that you have an incredible blessing, that God would do something in your life that you weren't expecting, that God will open some new door of opportunity for you in your life to make your life more complete, and that you will continue to allow Him to do His work on the inside of you. It's He who is doing the work in us, and we rejoice in Him, and our boast is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do pray that you would remain sanctified, that you would remain in the blessing, and that you would walk in the cloud of His glory, and that you will just be led and divinely guided by His Holy Spirit. I pray this with all of my heart for each and every one of you. Can't wait to meet some of the saints out there. Very much looking forward to getting together with believers in different places. And Patricia and I are really looking forward to that. So God's grace, God's love, God's peace be with you. And I think we have simply said goodbye for today. So shalom, be well, and we'll see you, Lord willing, on Tuesday, maybe from a different location. And if not, we'll see you when we get back in the following week. Shalom, everybody.